Behind home plate, we bringing it to them all day. All day. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Birdland. Win or lose, we bringing it to you always. Always. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Orange or black, we rebuild the pack. No matter where we at, you know we coming back. Section 336, we on this, so tune in. Tune in. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Yeah. Welcome to Birdland. You know what's up, Welcome to Birdland. Birdland. Now, here come the boys from Section 336.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Baltimore sports fans of all ages, welcome to Section 336, Next Generation of Baltimore Sports Talk. I am your endearingly stirring host. As always, I'm joined by the button lover, Josh Sroka.
Hey, Matt.
Back from Florida. Well, wait, back from Sarasota.
Right. Never left. Just drove across the country. But I got to see baseball, and it's so nice to have baseball back. I mean, I've seen, if you count the bananas as baseball, I've seen three games in the past week.
How long is that drive for you?
4 hours.
Man, Florida's too big of a state.
I know, when I think about that in Baltimore, it's like driving to New York City.
It's about the same distance.
Yeah, it's wild. It's crazy. Yeah. But you know what? To be able to go to Sarasota and see games, it's well worth the 4 hours.
Yeah. I feel like we're both on this baseball high. Josh, you got back from Sarasota, seeing Jackson Holliday and Kobe Mayo in action. I just got back from giant little league practice, my first practice of the year. It went great. We even made a couple outs in our simulation game. I've never seen a little kid catch a ball and throw a ball before, so this is all new to me. So I'm loving it.
All right. So today was your first practice.
Yeah. Yeah. And my first time working with,
new coaches. Do you have assistant coaches?
No. Well, so today was the first time meeting people. I don't have an assistant coach, but there were two parents who were very helpful that I think could turn into assistant coaches.
Okay. That's good. The best thing I've got going for me is that this is my third season with the same coach.
Yeah.
With the same assistant coach.
Well, we have a problem in our league of not enough coaches or assistant coaches. And I was talking to the commissioner about him. He said, this is a new problem. He said, one of the big things that happened is, he said, there was five coaches who were coaching, who kids are all in little league, five coaches who all left. And Josh, do you know where they all went?
Travel ball.
All of them, the same travel ball team. That travel ball team has six coaches now.
Well, because their kids went there.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, because I'm at that age coaching 10U where they're starting to transition that travel ball as well. So, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking about even 8U.
Sorry. Yeah, no, true.
So, anyway, so shortage of coaches, but I'm glad that there seems to be some involved parents. I mean, I had three parents out there on the field.
That's great.
So it was good. Yeah, it was a good, really good practice. That's needed. Pumped about it. Yeah, I'm excited about this season.
Yeah. I hate that my practices and my games all started and then we hit spring break. So I have 2 weeks between games two and game three with no practices.
Oh yeah, that's wild.
And I messaged all the parents today and said, so if I have a unofficial practice, because we're not allowed to have real practices during spring break, what kids can make it? And I had one parent respond to me.
Oh really?
So I think people are traveling for spring break.
Yeah, we're only supposed to do one practice a week, but I already told parents, like, me and Sas are going to the batting cages on Friday. Anyone's welcome to come.
Exactly. So it's awesome. No, it's the great thing. I was talking, we'll get to Sarasota, but out there, I met up with the Zany one.
Yeah, the Zany one.
And his family.
He's got Albie and Travel Ball.
Yep. So met up with Bert there, and their season hasn't started yet, baseball season, you know, because they're still up north.
Because it's still cold.
Yeah. Right. So they start in a couple of weeks. So it's his travel team has been having practices, but indoors, which you know how it goes. You can't really, without a great facility, it's hard to have practices indoors.
I remember playing high school ball with indoor practice. It was a total nightmare.
Yeah. Right. You can't do it. So it's nice to be down here in the South, where not only do the Orioles get to start early, but we get to start a little earlier than everyone with Little League as well.
All right, that's enough to chat. Josh, did you see the Jackson Holliday Grand Slam in person? Were you at that game?
I wish I could say I was.
But oh, you weren't at that game?
No, I was not.
Because the first I heard about it was a text message from you.
Yeah, because I was watching a different Oriole game at the time because you're jumping to Sunday, but the Orioles did a split squad.
And you chose the wrong one.
And I chose to be at the home game because it's a Sunday afternoon. Why would you make Jackson Holliday and Gunnar Henderson and I don't remember who else was on that split squad, but why would you make those guys go to Dunedin instead of stay in Sarasota?
Maybe because they had their best players staying and you wanted them to go up against the opponent's best players.
No, I know. I know that's why you did it, is you wanted to see Jackson Holliday against a better pitcher. I get it. It's just disappointing because I said I wanted to see Jackson Holliday and I went to the Braves facility on Saturday night and I went to the or Saturday afternoon and I went to the Orioles facility at Smith Stadium on Sunday afternoon. And at no point did I get to see Jackson Holliday.
Oh, you didn't see him at all?
No, he didn't play in either game.
Oh, what a waste of a trip. I don't even know why we even have even been talking to you. I was so excited to talk to you to get your impressions of seeing Jackson Holliday in person, and you didn't even see him. So I don't even know why we're even talking.
No, I got to see – there was two people I wanted to see, Jackson Holliday and Enrique Bradford.
Bradfield. You never get his right name. Bradfield. Right. You met the first name, the last name, and then there's a junior at the end too.
Yeah, get to see junior pinch run.
Did he steal any bases?
Of course he did.
Yes. Isn't he so fast? Yes. Everyone knows he's going to steal two, and he just steals every time. Josh, he's going to steal 100 bases this year.
I hope it's for the Orioles eventually. Yeah. But I did get to see, in Sarasota, I did get to see Corbin Burns pitch.
He hit a rough outing.
He had a rough outing. So he pitched three innings.
Working on his cutter, they say.
Yeah. There's always an excuse. A pitcher's always working on something.
Yeah.
With these spring trainings. But yeah, gave up a few long balls. But it was still cool to see Corbin Burns come out and be like, you know what? We got a legit pitcher. It's real. Kind of like, you know, the other thing I missed is that Friday night, Rubenstein was there taking pictures with everyone, the new owner. So I missed that as well.
It's Rubenstein, but whatever. You're already are messing up the name. So
all right, fine. Fine. If we're just screwing with names, you know who? Here's a name I don't think I'll screw up. You know who else I got to see?
Who's that?
Wong.
Oh, yeah, our new second baseman.
New second baseman.
Yeah.
So got to see him on Sunday as well. And he looked good. And I saw Mateo both games. And Mateo's looking good. I feel like Mateo has to be on this team. He's looking good. And I saw Kobe Mayo. And if you watch the replay of the Kobe Mayo home run in the Braves facility, ball flies right over my head.
Oh, really?
You can see me sitting there looking up at the ball.
That was the one that was almost foul?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I'll tell you, McKenna hit a ball before that one, maybe an inning before, that went down the exact same path right over my head, and they called it foul.
Yeah.
Where I think they were both fair. They were both fair from my viewpoint.
Okay. Yeah, it's turning out to be, you mentioned Jorge Mateo. I forgot he was an Oriole because if your name's not Jackson Holliday or Kobe Mayo or Colton Cowser or Kirby Burns. I forget
Kyle that you Stowers.
Or Kyle Stowers. Yeah, throw him in the list. Kyle Stowers as well.
Yeah. No,
it's been the spring training of the kiddos. The kiddos have and maybe because they get more attention because Jorge Mateo is having a nice spring training, but it's been the spring training of the kiddos.
I don't know if it means more play time for them or what. But you're right, and it makes, as a fan, it makes it trickier for me to be like, well, I want Kobe Mayo up here on opening day. I want Kyle Stowers up here. That power those two guys are having. Kowser, get me him.
Yeah.
Westberg, all these young guys who are like on the verge are having good springs.
Well, that's a good thing we traded Joey Ortiz.
Not seen how he's been doing and it was spring numbers, but yeah, same thing. Is like these guys are doing great. It makes it really tricky for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think at the beginning of the season, and by the way, Joey Ortiz I just looked up his numbers. Has an OBP of 364, so he's playing well.
So he's doing well.
Has a home run, four RBI, has a stolen base, so he's playing well. So that's going to be interesting to watch if he makes the open day roster. I don't know what the...
I hope he does. I don't know the competition out there.
Yeah,
I hope he does.
Either. I hope he does too. And you're right. I think at the beginning of the season, I mean, the beginning of the spring training, we liked Kobe Mayo a lot. We're not having serious discussions about Kobe Mayo on the open day roster.
And, correct.
I mean, I'm sure Mike Elias loves this problem. I don't think Mike Elias is over there throwing things at the wall because Kobe Mayo is playing well.
But it makes things tricky.
Who's going to tell Kobe Mayo? Who's going to sit down with Kobe Mayo and say, hey, dude, we know you were the best player in spring training. We know that right now you're probably the best third baseman or first baseman for the squad. You batted 323, OBP of 432, five walks. So you're getting a lot of walks. You got the monster home run, and we know power is going to be there. Is there with Kobe Mayo. So who's going to sit down and say, Kobe, even though you're the best option, you're going back to Norfolk. Like again, this is a great problem to have. But Josh, who would you rather have at third base right now? Ramon Urias or Kobe Mayo?
Kobe Mayo.
Yeah.
No, I would. Really.
And we should also throw Jordan Westberg in there too, because this gets tricky because of Wong.
Well,
Wong has already been, his name is mentioned three too many times on this podcast.
Wong is going to be on this stupid roster.
Josh, there is zero chance Wong.
He's a veteran.
I don't care. He's not making the roster.
Wong is making this roster. I'm telling you.
I'll bet money. I don't bet anymore. Oh, thank goodness I don't bet anymore.
All right, fine. Maybe I'll be Wong.
Yeah, you're going to be very Wong about this one. Because Jackson Holliday, I like, by the way, the moment Jackson Holliday hit the grand slam, everyone agrees he's on the open day roster. And then Corbin Burnes gives up five runs.
Right.
And
everyone agrees.
He's working on stuff. Exactly. Spring training stats don't mean anything. What are we talking about? There's spring training stats. It only matters. Spring training stats only matter when
they're good.
Like, it's good stuff. Yeah.
Well,
if it's bad, they're working on stuff. If it's good, it matters.
I feel like it's only the pitchers, though, that get that leeway for if it's bad, because hitters don't. Because I'll tell you what I learned. I made a couple of decisions on the Orioles watching them this week.
Okay, I love Josh. Been there for one weekend.
Yeah,
he's making roster set decisions. Go ahead, Mike Elias.
It's watching the team, and then also just being there in person gets me more excited for opening day and thinking through more of opening day. I got a 4.5-hour drive. I got to think through this stuff. I do not see how Ramon Urias and Ryan McKenna can be on this team this season. I don't see it. I don't see.
Well, they're both out of options. Exactly.
They're both out of options. Barring a spring injury, I don't see how these guys are Orioles this year. And because we don't play the game anymore of, oh, well, they're out of options, so we're not going to bring up the young kids. We don't do that game anymore.
No.
So these guys don't go on this team. Don't fit.
Do you agree with me that Jackson Holliday is making this open day roster?
Yeah. Yes.
Unless something happens between now and opening day, Jackson Holliday is going to make the roster, and he's going to start at second base. Do we agree with that? I don't know. Is that set?
Yeah. Yes. I think Jackson Holliday, opening day, second baseman.
Okay.
Which tells me if Jackson Holliday can make this team on opening day, why can't Kobe Mayo? Why? Explain to me why Jackson Holliday is ahead of Kobe Mayo.
I think people think that his batting eye and stuff is more advanced than Kobe Mayo's. You could make the argument. I'm thinking he was called up to Norfolk. He was called up to Norfolk in July last year. So he only played half a year at Norfolk. Before that, he was at Bowie.
And how much time did Holliday play at Norfolk? A week?
Probably about the same time. And then Jackson Holliday, let's be honest, like Jackson Holliday, the reality of it is Jackson Holliday is younger than
Yes.
Kobe Mayo.
Correct.
September 5th. Oh, so Kobe Mayo was in July, and for Holiday was September. So he was called up September to Norfolk. That's the very end of the season.
Okay. All right. So no, so they could both play onto this roster.
Yeah.
But I guess the difference is either one of these guys, you are not bringing them up unless he is your everyday start in that position. Neither of these guys are coming up to be a bench guy, play on Sundays.
Right. I mean, if you want to nitpick, I mean, they said Jackson Holiday has the more advanced eye. If you want to nitpick with his spring training, he only has one walk and 12 strikeouts. If you're Jackson Holiday, you can nitpick at that. Now he also has the two triples, the two doubles, the home run, the OPS of nine of the OPS of over 1,000, or of 957 right now. So if you want to nitpick, you can look at the strikeouts and walk numbers. But I don't think that's typical Jackson Holiday. So, yeah, I mean, it goes back to this discussion of both, like, the veterans on the team. I think there's, like, an argument that you want veterans on the team. You want depth. And the thing that if you let McKenna, and I think McKenna's gone, I mean, you just have too many options there. Kerstedt, Kowser, Stowers, there's just too many options in that outfield. And now Mateo is going to be playing center field too. Just too many options.
Yes.
So, yeah, McKenna, there's not room for him.
No, there isn't.
Urias, though, like, you want depth. And okay, if you DFA Urias, he's gone.
Yes.
And you can send Mayo to Norfolk and still have that depth if there's an injury to your infield.
Right.
But even now, Urias has turned into a bench or a platoon player, yes, right?
Yes.
Because – and I don't know how the platoon will work for him because he's a right-handed hitter. Are you really going to let Jax Holiday not play against lefties? I don't think you're going to do that. I think Jax Holiday will play every day against every pitcher, right? And so will Gunnar Henderson.
Right.
And so you platoon him with Westberg, but Westberg and Urias are both righties, so the platoon split doesn't really make sense there. I mean, you have the flexibility, but all of a sudden Urias becomes a bench player along with Mateo. And if Kobe Mayo is up here, where does he fit in if Jordan Westberg, right, is your starting third baseman?
I don't know.
One of those guys aren't playing every day.
Maybe Jordan Westberg or Kobe Mayo. Westberg might be the depth there.
No, you want Westberg playing every day, don't you, though?
No, I mean, he might be the depth at Norfolk.
Oh, yeah.
Kobe Mayo might be outplaying him because Westberg's got options, too.
It's true. Like, you could do that. It would be a little bit weird just because Westberg played 22 games.
Yeah, he was only up in like July, I think he came up.
He was caught up at the end of June.
Okay.
And didn't play every day. But he played well when he played. So it'd be a little bit weird to me if they don't call him up.
Yeah,
I don't know. We don't know because there's too many good players and not enough spots. And now it becomes a question of, do you take the hot player from spring training? Does that matter? Do you take the consistent veteran? Do you trust Kobe Mayo to put up numbers like this in the majors? Do you want him to have more seasoning? There's right. all these other like coaching questions that we don't see. Is Kobe Mayo's defense good enough to play a third base every day in the majors? Or is Ramon Urias such a better third baseman than Kobe Mayo that it'd be smart to wait till Kobe Mayo's defense gets a little bit better so you start him at Norfolk? These are also these questions that you kind of have to be there watching every day to see. But certainly starting the season, I think Ramon Urias was a favorite, Jordan Westberg was a favorite, and Kobe Mayo, I think, was looked at kind of distant as a distant long shot. Maybe injuries happen, but now all of a sudden he emerges as making a good case for making yes. this roster.
Yeah, I'll see. There's a comment over on Instagram saying it's a great problem to have, obviously, but also saying a hot take, Jackson is a September call-up. That's no way. Like, unless he
gets a September call-up?
Yeah, there's zero chance. Like, he'd have to get hurt and not be able to play until September.
Yeah. There's no
way he doesn't get caught up beginning of the season. If he doesn't make opening day, he's up by June.
Yeah, I agree. If he doesn't make opening day, they clearly have something that they want to work on him with, whether it's yes. walk numbers or defense at a new position. They clearly have a reason if they don't call him up. I don't think it's roster manipulation. I mean, I don't think it's what do they keep on saying? The starting the arbitration clock or yes. whatever.
No, it's not that.
It's not that. And it wouldn't have been that with Adley if he didn't get hurt, and it wouldn't have been that with Grayson if, nope. if he didn't get hurt. But then that always scares me because it happened with Adley question. And that happened with Grayson, where like they should have been caught up and they were about to get caught up and then they got hurt. And so it's you always worry if Jackson gets sent down to Norfolk, don't get hurt.
Right. You think Michael Elias just has someone around with like a lead pipe right before you're forcing your way onto the roster. Let me knock you down.
Yeah. But I mean, to their credit, like if you didn't want Mayo to make this roster, like stop playing him.
Correct.
Or Cowser, like stop playing that. But they're playing every day and they just keep on putting up numbers.
Kyle Stowers might be the biggest surprise to me this spring because I kind of wrote Stowers off as not part of the real part of this future.
Okay.
And now I'm looking more at these young guys and being like, well, maybe Mullins, Hayes, maybe these older guys are not part of this future because the young guys are playing their way up. Yeah. They're going to put pressure on the old guys.
No, absolutely. It's just true, right? All of a sudden, Austin Hayes, you kind of look at Austin Hayes and say, well, do you deserve to start over Cowser and Stowers?
Right.
Austin Hayes, and he's Austin Hayes has a spot on this team. There's no doubt, but you're playing for plenty of time here.
Yeah.
And how much will you play? Can I ask a stupid question? At the risk of asking a stupid question when we got 100 live viewers and I'm nervous to ask a stupid question.
Yeah.
Why, let me show my ignorance here, every time Stowers or Cowser, or I saw it with Holiday too, every time they get a big hit or a home run against a lefty, everyone has to say it was against a lefty. No one says when a right-handed hitter hits the ball against a righty, oh, it was that Kobe Mayo hit that ball against a right-handed hitter. Why do we obsess over the lefty-lefty?
Because it's rare. Because the righty-righty matchup is just as hard as the lefty-left matchup, but you don't see it as often. So a left-handed batter grows up seeing right-hand, 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 right-hand.
Right, right.
So they don't see the left-handed as much. And when with the left-hander, you see that release point late. So it's clearly just that it's impressive because you don't see it that often. But I hear what you're saying. Like, we don't say, oh, he hit a right hand off a right hand. I think
I don't know what Kobe Mayo's home run, if it was off a right or a lefty. I have no idea. But I do know that Jackson Holley's off a lefty. I do know every time Colton Cowser or Kyle Stowers hits a home run, if it's a lefty. And I get that. I get that it's hard to hit lefty on lefty. I get that. But I also know there are, I mean, Cedric Mullins is a case who got better when he just went to one side of the plate.
Correct.
I do know that good hitters can hit lefties, and I don't know why. Like, I don't know why we have to tweet it every single time. What hand the pitcher threw the ball with?
With
just those players.
With just the lefties, yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem to be with every lefty too. It seems to be mostly with Stowers, because there is this stigma, I guess, that Stowers and Cowser can't hit left-handed pitching. And so we have to say it, and maybe Holiday too, to a certain extent. But yeah, I mean, that's a good point, Josh, that they maybe haven't played a whole lot of right-handed pitching in their early careers.
Yeah. And I think
lefty pitching.
Well, and even less, all these fans on Twitter have seen left on left even less, or they haven't seen Stowers face a left-hander that often.
I'm talking about reporters. I'm not even talking about fans. I'm talking about
the reporters.
The reporters every time. Every
reporters,
time.
Reporters are dumb. I saw.
No, Josh is taking shots at everybody today. I love it. Josh getting names wrong, taking shots at everybody. Josh is on fire today.
I saw a few reporters yesterday. I was hanging out. I was hanging out by the bullpen when they were coming back from the clubhouse.
It's spring training for them too, Josh.
I know. But here's the deal. Here's my problem with the reporters, and I won't even go into names because you guys all know the guys who are down there for spring, and they all hang out together. So they're all walking together, all talking. They were walking back from the clubhouse, so I imagine they must have just went and talked to Corbin Burns, because it was right after he got pulled out of the game.
Was that when he was announced as the opening day starter, or no?
He was announced pregame.
Pregame.
So then they went and talked to him after the game, and so anyway, they're coming back. I'm hanging out over at the bullpen,
working on my cutter,
and I notice all three guys, that are down there all the time that we all know.
They have to be guys. Okay, go ahead.
Well, there was a girl, but I didn't know who she was.
Okay.
But the guys that we all know are there covering the Orioles versus the Blue Jays, and they're all wearing blue shirts.
Mm.
And I thought it was odd where it's like, I know you don't want to show like,
you got to be objective.
You got to be objective, but then why don't you wear like, but you have to wear the other team in order to show how objective you are. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. What was the Josh? Did you get any gear there? Did you buy some new, I assume there's new spring training gear. I don't know if I follow this.
Here's a good,
you and Bert all over it.
Yeah. Bert and I were on top of it. See, Bert and I also met up at, we first met up at the Braves facility on Saturday.
Okay.
So
was he there with his whole family or just him and Albie?
Him and Albie and Laura.
Okay.
And then me and Kelly and Owen.
Okay.
And then, so we meet up at the Braves facility, hang out and all. Braves facility, I think, is the newest of the spring training facilities. It's real nice.
Okay.
We go into the team store. It's got all this awesome spring training stuff. It's two stories. It's got all the jerseys. You can buy anything.
For Orioles and Braves or all Braves?
No, for all the Braves gear.
Right,
all sure, the Braves gear.
Owen was loving that, I'm sure.
He was. I bought him a hat. I bought him a new Braves hat because he a Brit before
I
me.
I saw the picture of you and Kelly in Orioles gear and Owen is all his Braves gear. That made me laugh.
The Orioles are his second team.
Okay.
I'm sure once we win the World Series, they will become his first.
Once we sweep the Braves in the World Series, we'll see who he's cheering for.
Yeah. I took him to Atlanta to see the Orioles this past year, and he was all in his Oriole gear until the Braves took the lead and he changed jerseys.
Yeah, that's a veteran move to kind of have maybe the Orioles jersey on top, Braves underneath. Yes. You can go both ways. That's a veteran move.
That's the ball hawk move.
Yeah.
But anyway, then the next day went to Ed Smith Stadium. Love
Home
Ed
of the
Smith.
Orioles.
Much smaller, which is awesome as a fan because it's more intimate. You're close to there. You've been to Ed Smith a bunch of times.
Yes, I'm familiar with Ed Smith.
This was, I go to the team store at Ed Smith. It's nothing. It's tiny. It's crowded. There's no jerseys.
It is. I remember it is tiny. Yeah. It's like a minor league.
There's no jerseys. Sure. There's like one spring training shirt, one Grapefruit League shirt, some stuff for kids. It's like I bought a water bottle.
It seems they're missing out on a gold mine too, because the people who travel to Sarasota are A, diehard fans.
It makes no sense.
We have the money to travel to Sarasota.
It makes no sense. The Orioles have suckered me with all these new caps that they released this year. I bought the clubhouse hat. Then a week later, I ordered the spring training hat. Then they came out with...
I'm still trying to get my City Connect hat.
Then they came out with the hat. I don't know. What's it? Bat in practice. I think it's a bat in practice hat. That's the white brim or the white front with the old school 90s bird.
Okay.
And I wanted that one. So I went in the store to look for it.
Giveaway DAP hat.
They didn't even have that. They didn't even have the hats for sale. The only hat they had was spring training and a couple other random ones.
Not the City Connect hats?
No, I don't even think I saw the City Connect hats. I don't think I saw anything for sale with the City Connect artwork on it.
Did you let Rubenstein know that?
He was not there. I did not find him.
Okay.
So very disappointed in the Orioles team store. And I feel like it was such a comparison from the Braves going the day before to come to the Orioles that the only thing I can figure is some of the shelves looked a little empty. Like maybe they just made the normal spring training order that they've been making for years for Baltimore, for the Orioles. And now all of a sudden people are excited and they're just selling it all out fast.
Yeah.
It makes zero sense why they
didn't have it. Well, I'm sure your wife and your bank account appreciate it.
Yeah. I bought a water bottle. Because I thought they had a cool orange water bottle, and I said, that'll be good for my baseball practice.
Hey, I know we talked about they're doing some renovations at Camden Yards, and they're doing some kind of new things in terms of...
Yes.
We talked about last
Coca-Cola's episode. Back. That's my favorite thing. It's still Pepsi.
And they're getting a lot of money for upgrades, too.
Yeah, from the state.
But we haven't heard a whole lot on what that money's being used to. Like, I still think...
No.
It's a travesty, our team store at Camden Yards... You got to wait. You got to wait 20 minutes just to get in the store.
It's way
too
big.
You're in the store, you just hyperventilate because you literally can't move. and I can't even like buy anything because I'm so stressed that I'm just surrounded by so many people.
Totally agree. To
make that thing two stories and
agreed.
Take over some more buildings on Utah Street.
Agreed. Or what I didn't understand about Ed Smith is why they don't just have a booth out somewhere selling stuff. Like you can make money.
The Warriors got smart in the playoffs. They had all those booths set up.
Well, I think Fanatics did that. I think Fanatics rolled in their trucks. That was Fanatic trucks.
Oh.
And booths. But that's what I'm saying. You could have done that at Ed Smith. It made no sense that there was nothing good to buy there.
Yeah.
You
should have set up a booth yourself, Josh.
I should have. It would have done better than setting up a booth on opening day on the wrong corner.
Yeah.
So I will say that going to Ed Smith on Sunday was also cool because, one, we ran into Derek Arnold there. So it was always cool to see Derek Arnold of Utah Street.
Oh, yeah. I love Derek.
And then I met up with mom and dad there.
Mom and dad have seen an actual baseball game, unlike the banana nonsense.
Exactly. And dad has never been to Orioles spring training.
But he's never been to Ed Smith Stadium before?
Never been there. This is his first time.
Oh,
first time there. So it was cool to do that with him.
Yeah. So. Do you guys get a hotel there or something? Do you stay down there?
I took the camper.
Oh, you stayed in the camper?
Yeah, I took the camper and I got a campsite and just camped for 2 days.
It was okay finding a campsite last minute, or did you book that ahead of time?
I booked it about a month and a half, 2 months ago, and I had to have two different sites at the place, so I had to switch it between days, but yeah, it was fine.
Okay. All I hear
is But I did determine. I did.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I did determine. Yeah, campgrounds in Florida are ridiculous to book. Georgia's tough too.
But the in-laws, of all the snowbirds. Emily's parents have a camper, the in-laws, and everything, when they talk about camping out, everything's planned out like over a year ahead of time just to get into the flights. Yeah,
I'll tell you, they passed a law in Florida that Florida residents can book out state parks 11 months out now and non-residents 10 months out because all the snowbirds were taking all the campsites.
Yeah, stick it to those non-residents.
But that means that next month, what I'm doing is I'm booking this week in Sarasota for the whole week, and I'm just going to go and work out of the camper.
Yeah.
And go to
bed. And that was okay staying there with Kelly and Owen? It wasn't too cramped?
No. We take four out and the dog, and it's great. It's nice.
You see the dog too?
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
I have a lot of reasons why not.
You go, you sit there, it's nature. All we did in the camper is sleep. Like it's nice. Next year you come down, you and Silas come down, hang out with me and Owen in the camper.
Yeah. Where's the closest Marriott? You'll find me there. So Josh, we didn't really touch on this. We just kind of skimmed over this, but it's kind of a big deal. Corbin Burns was named the opening day starter. Are you okay with that? Did that surprise you at all?
No, especially when Bradish got hurt, you had no choice. It had to be Burns.
If Bradish was healthy, you think Bradish would get the nod over Corbin Burns?
I think Corbin Burns is your big chip. So I think Corbin Burns would get it no matter what. But I think I could make an argument for Kyle Bradish to get it based on last year's performance.
Yeah.
But Corbin's the veteran coming in. So, yeah, it makes total sense.
Yeah, it makes total sense. I mean, we've said it before, he's an ace. And we haven't had an ace here since
Mussina.
Mike Mussina, probably.
I really think it was Mike Mussina's our last ace.
Yeah. Here's just a walk down memory lane. Last year's, of course, open day starter was Kyle Gibson. And then it was John Means for a couple years.
Yep.
And then Tommy Malone. Then Andrew Kashner. And then our favorite, and then it's the cavalry, the cavalry, Dylan Bundy, Kevin Gossman, Chris Tillman for a bunch of years.
Yep.
And then go back to Jason Hamill, Jake Arrieta, Jeremy Guthrie, Kevin Millwood, Jeremy Guthrie, Eric Bedard, Rodrigo Lopez, Sir Sidney Ponson, Rodrigo Lopez, Scott Erickson. And so you just go back and then Pat Henkin, and then you get to Mike Mussina.
And there's our ace.
Yeah. That was in the year 2000. So it just took 24 years, and we have our ace. So, yeah, I agree. It seemed like a no-brainer. But we don't know anything from there, right? We don't know, is it going to be Rodriguez number two? I'm guessing, and then Kramer, but we don't have that official. I guess to start it after one.
I don't know. Did you also see the other news that we haven't talked about is that the MLB ownership group approved Ruben Stein's purchase of the Orioles? The committee.
Yeah.
So I made it through the first step, which it's good, looking good for getting this dealt with before opening day.
Yeah. I don't think John Angelos, I don't know this. I shouldn't say things I don't know. I don't know. I don't think John Angelos has many friends.
No, he doesn't in the have
ownership
any.
Community.
No, don't you remember?
I don't think so.
Don't you remember the commissioner coming out a few years ago and being like, Peter Angelos and the Orioles need to tell us who's running this thing?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, all those fights between John and Lou.
Right. What it'll be fun if Major League Baseball announces Ruben Stein is officially the owner and the All-Star game will be back in 2 years.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a big party to celebrate Angelos not being here.
Yeah, certainly the commissioner's happy about it. Oh, the other owners also like this idea, like players. I mean, players union, I mean, this is... We're taking away one of the cheapest owners in sports. So yeah, almost everyone's going to be happy. The only guy that would be upset is if I was the owner of the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Blue Jays. Well, I might voice my opposition to this.
Right.
Well, Tampa Bay, any other team, I'm all.
And
for
if I was any owner, I got to look at myself and be like, all right, Snyder's out, Angelos is out. All right, who's the next bad owner? I don't want it to be me.
Because
for years and years and years, there's been no question in all of sports that those are the two worst two owners, and they're both leaving. They're both out.
Yeah.
Did you see the Masson stuff with Comcast this week as well?
Care. That has zero impact on me, but I
exactly.
kind of saw it tangentially. But they reached a deal, right?
They reached a deal, but then they moved. In order to make the deal happen, you have to now have the higher level of Comcast. So you got to pay like an extra $20 a month or something.
These people who run these companies are such idiots. It's going to be more cord cutting. That's all it's going to lead to, right? Is more cord cutting?
It leads to more cord cutting. For the Orioles, it leads to more people complaining about the blackouts, where the Orioles should have just seen that as an opportunity to say, we're offering it ourselves.
We live in a world where the best situation to watch the Orioles on TV every day is to move to a different state. That's
the world problem.
We're
yes. Yeah. Or to do it illegally.
Yeah,
because what Xfinity and all these guys have to realize is that it's not that hard to do this illegal.
Yeah. If you want to know how, private message Josh, he'll hook you up.
No, I pay for YouTube TV and I pay for MLB.tv, but there's a couple games a year when the Orioles play Tampa and when they play the Braves or they play Miami that I have to pull up a different app.
Yeah.
Well, and they force me to.
Yeah. And same with me. Like I don't pay, but I use Josh's MLB TV and I use Josh's YouTube TV. So I'm limited by the same restrictions Josh is.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thankfully we get it with T-Mobile.
Yeah. So hey, I don't know if you saw this. ESPN came out, I don't know if you care about this, with the top 100 ranked players for 2024. Just for 2024.
Okay. All right, I did not see this. All right.
Who do you think the Orioles' top-ranked player is? And what number do you think he is?
Gunnar Henderson, number 4.
Oh, my. Gunnar Henderson was the Orioles' third-ranked player. So he was number 3 in the Orioles.
So our rookie of the year is number 3.
No. Then Holiday isn't on the list.
No. Last year's rookie of the year.
Oh, yeah. Last year's rookie of the year. Is number 37 overall.
All right.
But there's two guys higher than him.
Adley will be higher then.
Yeah, Adley.
Because Adley is a player's player. Like, players and reporters love Adley Rutschman and his style.
The fact that he's a catcher gives him, like, up, like, 20 spots just being a catcher.
Correct. So what
even though no one's seen him throw to second base, 10 feet over second baseman, we won't talk about that. But he's number 11. That, to me, is pretty high.
Yeah,
like the only people above him are, here's the top 10, Acuna, Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Corey Seager, Garrett Cole, Yordan Alvarez, Garrett Cole, who has some MRI tests, which watch out, Yankees, Shohei Ohtani is number 9, and Corbin Carroll is number 10, and then number 11, Adley Rutschman.
All right. That makes sense because all those guys above him are proven commodities.
Yes. Been doing it for a while.
Right.
Except for Corbin Carroll, but, you know, maybe give him the World Series props, get into the World Series.
We have 3 guys in the top 100.
Yeah, we have another guy who's 21, who I was a little surprised he wasn't higher than 21.
Is it Grayson Rodriguez or Kyle Bradish?
Josh, how about our opening day starter, fool?
Oh, Corbin Burns. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you're doing. I see. It's guys, they're the top players in the game right now, not necessarily guys to be excited about.
Right. It's 2024.
The top players.
Yeah, top. I mean, this is why a lot of people were mad at Shohei Ohtani, who is the best player in baseball, was number 9. But since he's not pitching this year, it's just DH, his value goes down a little bit.
Yeah, I gotcha. That makes sense to me. So what number did you say?
21.
Okay. I mean, there's very few aces in the game. And we've got one, and he's arguably top 3 American League pitcher.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how he ranks compared to other pitchers.
Well, I'll tell you right now. I'll just look at it. I'll just scroll through real quick. In terms of pitchers, that top pitcher ranked here is Gerrit Cole.
All right.
Who, by the way, you know, hope he's not hurt, but he's getting
well, right.
But and then after that, the next pitcher is Spencer Strider.
Right, for the Braves. And Zach Wheeler is probably somewhere around there too.
Yeah, and Zach Phillies. Wheeler is 22. So he's one after.
So Corbin Burns, they have ranked as the top pitcher in the American League.
Well, second after Gerrit Cole.
Oh yeah, but Gerrit Cole's hurt.
Yeah, but they're still waiting to see how bad it is.
All right.
But yeah, outside of Gerrit Cole, he's the next. So if Gerrit Cole is injured and out for a while, then Corbin Burns, according to this list, is the best pitcher in the American League. And it's kind of not close because you have to scroll down a ways to find the next pitcher in the American League, Luis Castillo for the Mariners at 39.
Okay.
Are you a little surprised? So I was surprised that Adley was so high.
Right.
Corbin sounds right. Gunnar sounds right just because he's in his second year.
Yeah, Gunnar sounds right.
But I was a little surprised there was no one else in that list for top. That's it.
Yeah, who else would be on that list? I guess Kyle Bradish would be my argument.
Yeah, I think he deserves to be on that list. Kyle Bradish on that list.
Based on last season.
Yeah, but a lot of people think last season, I think, was a little bit flukish, and he's going to regress this year.
Other than that, maybe Anthony Santander?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to make an argument for Jackson Holliday, but again,
no,
they're putting a rookie who's never played in the majors on that list.
Exactly. These are all proven guys.
Yeah. And yes, I mean, Cedric Mullins, after having a down year last year, is not going to make that list.
Right.
Felix Bautista is not playing this year, or he would make that list.
You're right. He would be on that list if he was there. Correct.
Yeah. So on the one hand, to have 3 guys, and what I said Gunnar was like 37 or whatever.
But how
three
many
guys top 37 is pretty good.
Yeah, but if you looked at the 2023 list, we probably had 1 guy. Maybe
Adley. Right?
I'll tell you. Looking at 2024, the Oakland Athletics, the Colorado Rockies, and the Washington Nationals have 0 top 100 players.
All right, Josh, that's fine. But Owen, you know, your Owen, your boy Owen,
oh,
for the Braves, they got 8 on that top 100 list.
Well, so. Yes.
Yeah, so they're doing pretty good. But Josh,
but we have a chance to have 8 next year.
Yeah, because people got to wake up to Kyle Bradish. People got to wake up to Grayson Rodriguez. People got to wake up to
Holliday.
On that list, how many players next year are we getting in the top 100?
26.
the whole roster.
The whole roster. No, I'm going to say we go from 3. Batista's back, so he gets on there. Holliday gets on there. That gets us to 5.
Well, you're assuming Corbin Burns is back?
Yeah, isn't that a? Oh yeah, yeah. You're right. We lose Corbin Burns.
Yeah, he's a free agent.
Then we sign another.
Is Rodriguez or Bradish on that list?
we trade for Acuna, and no, I think we spend some money. I think we get 6 to 8 next year.
Yeah, but I love the Corbin Burns trade, and this is what I've been saying for a while now. And you can talk about. I mean, actually, Blake Snell made that top list, so you could still add Blake Snell if you wanted to. He's number 59.
I assume the Yankees are going to sign him with Gerrit Cole going down.
Also, Jordan Montgomery is number 63, so you could add him too if you want another top 100 guy. But I'm now with the Orioles where, I mean, I honestly feel like this. I don't want Blake Snell, and I don't want Jordan Montgomery. I want a top 50 guy in baseball, or no thanks. And the reason I don't want, like, obviously I'm not, if we sign Montgomery or Snell, I wouldn't be mad. But I would hope it's for a short-term deal. And it's not just about re-signing our own, which I want to make sure we have money to re-sign our own. I think next year's free agents class is going to be better. Yes. Not to mention, like, we have become, I feel like we have money now in March to spend a free agency because we have new ownership. Next year we'll have money in November.
October. Yeah, exactly.
In October, November, when, like, all the best players are available. And so I'd rather pump the brakes this year. Let's roll with what we got. I think we have enough pitching to make a run at it this year. And then if we need to make a trade at the deadline, we have so many prospects still. We can make a trade at the deadline for an elite pitcher. I don't want your mid-range guys. I want your elite, or I want nothing. That's where I'm at right now with this team. And so, I mean, Blake Snell is good. But if we get him, give me a one-year deal because I want to go in next year and get someone even better than Blake Snell. So I want elite, or I want nothing with this team right now, because we have enough really good players that we don't need, just borderline major leaguers. We need elite talent like Corbin Burns, or we have other guys that can get the job done. That's kind of where I'm at with this team.
Yeah. Well, looking at the free agent pitching for next year, it would be Corbin Burns. Zach Wheeler just got that extension, so he's off the list. Max Fried, Walker Buehler, Max Scherzer, Shane Bieber. Those would be your top starting pitchers.
Okay.
So maybe it'd be nice to keep Burns.
Yeah. What I want to know is, though, there's just one guy I want to know about, and that's Roki Sasaki. When can he, from Japan, he's my guy. When can he post?
I don't know.
When can we sign him? I think it's after this season. I think it's this off season. And I know he'll probably go to the Dodgers because they get everybody. But that's who I want, Roki Sasaki.
I don't know. I'm on this FoxSports.com. Yeah. And you know how they have as the number two reliever hitting free agency next year?
Who?
Tanner Scott.
Oh, I would like Tanner Scott on my team.
I would like Tanner Scott back as well.
Yeah. He's above Craig Kimbrell.
His 104, he got 104 strikeouts last year. It was only behind Batista and Matt Brash for MLB relievers. So I'd love a Scott-Batista matchup.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not opposed to that either. The Orioles in that trade got Antonio Velez and Kevin Guerrero, and we gave up Cole Sulcer and Tanner Scott. So that one's not looking good right now.
No. But that was that was Duquette, right?
No.
That was an Elias trade. Was that Elias trade?
Yeah, that was one of Elias' earlier ones.
All right. Well, I'll give you the Burns one. I'll still trust you.
Yeah. Well, that was still in complete rebuild mode.
Right.
Elias didn't have many pieces left, so let me trade the pieces I got. And honestly, like, when we traded Tanner Scott, he had volatile. I mean, he had control issues.
Yes, and he seemed to settle it in Miami.
Yeah, he's the guy we interviewed at Bowie, right?
Yes.
And I was like, and I told him this. I was like, you should just save everybody the time. You walk one out of every three batters. Just walk one guy. That takes care of your one out of three batters. Just right away, tell him to go to first base. Save everybody's time.
Right.
And then throw it to the rest of the guys. And
yeah.
He didn't take me up on that idea. But even in Bowie, he was throwing 100. He just couldn't control where it went. So good for him for figuring it out. And yeah, come back to Baltimore. I'll be on board with that. But yeah, I'm so Josh, you think pass on Montgomery and Snell?
Oh yeah. I don't. Yes. Yeah,
if we do, give me a 1 or 2 year deal.
Yeah, I mean, I will take either one of them for, if you give me a 1 year deal, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
You give me a good, hey, I want to prove it. I want to go win the World Series with the Orioles for this year and then go back out on the market. All right, come on. Otherwise, I want to see these young guys pitch. I want to see what we got.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be curious to watch guys. I mean, Chase McDermott is a name to think about. He's going to be at Norfolk this year. And he's just, I think, he's a phone call away from being on the majors. So he's a name that he's been really effective this spring training. So I like Chase McDermott. He's one of the young pitchers to watch.
Yeah, no, I'm still excited about that Suarez veteran we brought in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's not a rookie. He's
100 years veteran, old. But I'm excited about having him on this team.
Yeah.
So I'm not concerned. I just want the season to start now. We're like 2.5 weeks away, and then we get to be up in Baltimore. Orioles announced their little countdown to opening day, like events where you can go and watch practices and warm-ups and stuff beforehand, go meet Mr. Splash. I saw someone wearing a Mr. Splash jersey in Sarasota.
Oh, nice.
So
he's back. Yeah.
So, yeah, he's back.
I just looked it up. So we're giving some love to Kobe Mayo and Colton Cowser and Kyle Stowers and Jackson Holliday. I mean, let's get the numbers. I mean, let's get some love. Here's a number for Chase McDermott. He's pitched in 3 games, 6 2/3 innings, given up 5 hits, 10 strikeouts, 0 runs. So he's having a pretty good spring training.
Yes.
And another young pitcher to think about is Cade Povich, who's pitched in again in 3 games, 7 innings pitched, given up 7 hits. Only given up 1 earned run and 9 strikeouts in those 7 innings. So both McDermott and Cade Povich, 2 young pitchers who I assume will start AAA this year, but they could be up helping in Camden Yards in no time. So that's 2 young pitchers to be excited about as well.
I agree. You know, that reminds me, we're talking about these other pitchers, is I saw something in Sarasota that I've never seen before. Corbin Burnes was pitching. And they pulled him in the second inning with 2 outs and put McSweeney in. McSweeney gets the last out, and then the third inning comes up, and Corbin Burnes goes out there and comes back out. So they pulled the pitcher.
Yeah, and put him back
put in a reliever and put him back in. Because it's spring training, and you can do that. I've never seen it before.
Yeah. And when you mentioned McSweeney, I don't know why I thought of him, but we had this whole conversation with Urias and his spot. You know, another interesting guy to talk about is a lefty. And, you know, Cowser's a lefty. Stowers is a lefty. Holliday's a lefty. We have a lot of lefties. Kerstedt's a lefty. Ryan O'Hearn. Josh, do you think Ryan O'Hearn's job is at all in the bubble, even after having a great year last year?
I think Elias is working the phones and looking at O'Hearn, looking at Urias, looking at even Mateo, waiting, hoping that someone else has an injury that he can then trade these guys with. Because, yeah, I think O'Hearn has a spot on this team, but I think they would not mind trading him to free up some space.
Yeah.
We're crowded. That infield's crowded.
Yeah. Ryan O'Hearn had a great year last year. Take nothing away from him. He doesn't have the upside of a Kobe Mayo or a Kerstedt. I mean, he hit, what, like 14 home runs last year?
Right.
And I know he didn't play every day, but even if he plays every day, he might hit 20 on a great year. He's never had a season where he's had more than 14 home runs. So he just doesn't have the power and the pop like some of these other guys does. Now, he hit 289. He was clutch. Bunted, got a nice bunt when we needed him to.
And but he got most of his playing time when Mountcastle was down with vertigo.
Right.
So, all right, but now we're looking at, you got Adley that you want at first base some. Just to shift him and McCann. You're already pushing Mateo out to play some center field because you're worried about your crowded infield. So, first base is not really I don't know if O'Hearn is as flexible as a utility guy as some of these other guys.
Yeah. I mean, I think they want Ryan Mackhouse to play every day, right? Like, I think they want Ryan Mackhouse to play most days.
Correct.
And so that puts Ryan O'Hearn in this backup role slash DH. And I know, I think he's even been practicing some in the corner outfield position.
He has.
Just for this very reason.
And I think we saw him in right field once or twice last year.
Yeah. But again, do you know who also plays corner outfield? Kerstedt, Kowser, Stowers.
Correct. It's crowded.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what you do. It all comes back to that whole, the Orioles have some interesting decisions to make.
It's going
to
be fascinating. There's too many players who deserve to be on this team and not in the spots.
Correct.
This has never happened before. This is bizarre.
No, you're right. You're right.
That don't deserve to make it.
Correct.
Yeah, this is not Jameel Weeks we're talking about here. Yeah.
And we're running out of time. 2 weeks, we got to make this decision.
Yeah, and they're going to wait. They're going to wait. And maybe next week we can break down the numbers and look at the 26-man roster and who's guaranteed and who's not. We don't have time to really get into it. But I don't think decisions have been made. Like, I don't think Penn has been put on paper to make decisions. I think they're waiting. I think they're waiting to see what happens. Certainly injuries, but also kind of playing on the field. I think they're going to wait to the very last minute to make these roster decisions.
Yeah.
Or you're right. Maybe a trade happens. I don't know.
Right. Something, because they've got a lot of tough decisions. Like, they made their first cuts this week, and it's a roster reassignments. And you look and it's like, all right, it's Seth Johnson and a bunch of names I've never heard of before.
Right.
It's like, no big deal.
There's no tough decisions made yet.
There was no tough decision made this week.
Agreed.
So, is it this week that they have the spring breakout game with all the
guys? They announced rosters this past week, and it's like a week long thing, right?
I thought it's just one game.
I thought it was a whole week of playing other teams with their prospects.
No, it's one game.
Oh, I thought it was a thing. Maybe not. Okay.
It's one game. It's one game for every team.
Okay.
It's not like they say it's March 14th through 17th, but it's
it lasts over multiple days.
But it's a series of 16 exhibition games. It's not like, I don't think there's playoffs or anything. I don't think
you move on. Is it tournament style?
No, I don't even think there's a tournament. It's just 16 games.
So we play one game against the Pirates.
So on March 14th, we play against the Pirates.
Okay. Is that going to be on TV for me to watch?
I don't know. That's what I was trying to figure out, because if why would they not put all of these games on MLB.com or MLB TV or whatever? But I can't,
free to watch.
Yeah, but I can't figure it out. I don't think they are. Which is silly, because it doesn't say anything I'm on MLB's website. It lists the 16 games, doesn't list anything about watching them on TV.
I assume you should be able. I mean, even these seems like the kind of games that you could put on ESPN, right?
Yeah. The Orioles, here's the Orioles roster.
Okay.
Is Trace Bright, Keegan Gillies, Nolan Hoffman, Cade Povich, Yaki Rivera, Cade Stroud are our pitchers.
There's no Trace McDermott on that list?
No.
All right. Fine.
Silas Ardoni.
My man Silas. Love that kid. Yeah.
Samuel Bassello, Connor Pavloni, Creed Williams, four catchers. Willems.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Willems. Infielders.
Here we go. Give me those infielders.
Leandro Arias.
That's not who I was expecting.
Frederick Bescomi.
Again, not who I was expecting.
Billy Cook.
Okay, is this the real list?
Max Wagner.
Okay, there's the name.
Kobe Mayo, Connor Norby, Jackson Holliday.
There we go. Those are the four.
Outfielders, Dylan Beavers, Enrique Bradfield Jr.
Yes. Matthew Edsel. Said his name right. Nice.
Yeah, because I'm reading it. Judd Fabian, John Rhodes, Thomas Sosa, and Braylon Tavera.
Yeah.
But that's it. It's one game played against the Pirates prospects, too.
Yeah.
Major League Baseball is screwing it up. It should be, do you send them for a little tournament? It makes no sense.
This is the first time. They can grow it out after this.
And all of these games need to be on TV.
I bet the games are on TV.
They're not. It would say it on this page. Because they can't just expect everyone to fly down to...
But they've been hyping this thing up so much. Haven't they been hyping this thing up? I mean, they did the whole roster reveal. You don't do a roster reveal unless you're hyping something up. Why would you hype it up and not put it on TV?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Major League Baseball does not know how to market itself. MLB Spring Breakout TV schedule.
Yeah, I bet it's on there.
Spring Breakout games to air. Let's see. The Orioles and Pirates will be on MLB Network and ESPN Plus. All right, so it looks like they're all on MLB Network and MLBD, whatever digital platforms.
Okay.
So it looks like they are all at least in the MLB app.
Yeah, and I'm looking it up too, and it's going to be game two of a doubleheader. It says game one is a standard spring training game, and then
again, I don't understand Major League Baseball because they think we're going to do this spring breakout. No one's going to want to come see these players because they don't know them. So we're going to make it on the backside of a doubleheader.
Yeah, that's not how it is anymore. People know these young players.
It's what Major League Baseball should do is take all these young players and take them, give it one more week.
Oh, okay.
Give it one more week. Because all these players, for the most part, get cut before the season starts.
A lot of them will, yeah.
So you take them and you say, if you're making the opening day roster, Jackson Holliday, you're not going to be eligible this year. You were eligible last year. You take all these young guys right after they get cut, basically that last week of spring training, they all go to one location for a little tournament-style baseball that's on TV. That would be exciting. A little spring breakout. You take them all to a major league city. Take them up to New York and use Yankee Stadium and Citi Field to have tournaments going between those two. Let them experience a big league, buy into the excitement of opening day and baseball season starting, and let the young kids play. Kind of like what they do on All-Star Game for that one, how they bring the minor league All-Star Game and they let it play in like the same city as the real All-Star Game. Or the showcase, whatever they call that. Do you even know what I'm talking about?
No.
All right. Well, either way, Major League Baseball needs to do a better job marketing themselves. It even goes back to the Orioles and the beginning of our discussion about Ed Smith Stadium and not being able to buy a jersey.
Well, I think also baseball fans, and maybe we're biased because we've been watching this team rebuild for the past decade, but I feel like we, as just baseball fans, have become more aware of what's happening in the minors and more of the prospects. I mean, MLB TV has promoted the draft a lot.
And more, MLB Digital, as they call it, the apps and everything, is a big part of that. So to have these just stream on the MLB app, I'm all for. That's fine.
Yeah. And it makes sense to get fans to buy into players when they're AA and AAA because they're going to be here in the next couple of years. And so
now
get them early. Yeah.
Now I'll tell this. Orioles, I need you to not have shaky cam because these are young kids. I need clear pictures to be able to tell what's going on.
Yeah, no, I agree. Don't have a shaky cam, but Mathen's not doing it. So I think we're okay.
Are they not?
Yeah. I saw Pittsburgh is doing it.
Oh, okay. Great.
But Mathen isn't. So that sounds, that checks out. That checks out. Sounds about right. All right, guys, let's get out of here.
Because it's at their facility. You're right.
Yeah. It's over an hour. Let's get out of here, Josh.
All right, sounds good.
All right. So you can check us out on X and Facebook and Instagram. You can also buy Josh's wearing a cool shirt. You can buy more of Josh's cool shirts
at birdlandsports.com. Please check it out. All shirts on sale for $19.99 this week.
Nice. You can follow and get all my hot takes on X. Hear all my free agents Ravens talk on X. I really haven't tweeted anything in a while. But I will one day at Section 336. And you can follow Josh on X.
At Josh Soroka. Also TikTok for us. I've been putting clips up.
That's right. We're on TikTok now. Absolutely. All right, boys and girls, thanks for listening. And as always, go O's.